Welcome to Talking Sports with Ryan.
Let's be great.
Your number one podcast for the latest sports news and highlights.
Go rock this thing, huh? Love you, man. Go get it.
Need NFL?
It's great to have you with us for the divisional playoffs.
Need NBA?
Just have some fun out here. You know, enjoy the journey of all this. I'm trying to get 16 wins and going after a gold trophy.
Ryan's got you covered and more. The show starts right now.
All right, we are back on another edition of Talking Sports with Ryan. We have a special guest this evening. He is on DirecTV Fantasy Zone, and he is now with Yahoo Sports. We're going to call him a friend of the show because he was on last year, James Coe. Welcome to the show.
What's up, man? Glad to be back.
I know. How's things going for you then? It looks a little different since last year when we talked. I think you were just coming out of the NFL Network, and you were coming into a different gig or job or however you want to word it. But how's things looking for you?
It's great right now. It's a year. It has been such an eventful year for me. It seems like a lifetime ago. It really does. I'm doing great, man. You know, we're gearing up for season number two for me anyways of DirecTV's Fantasy Zone. For those of you who have never watched it, it's totally fine, but it's a great show, man. It's basically Red Zone for fantasy freaks, you know? So we show you every game, we show you all the touchdowns, but we're going to give you a ton of fantasy football analysis to go along with that. And it's a really, really, really fun show. I had a blast doing it last year. I was so happy that they decided to bring me back. So more than happy to be doing that. I've picked up a gig with, as you mentioned, Yahoo Sports, writing fantasy football for them. Please give them a listen or give my columns there a read. It would be much appreciated. But I'm doing a lot more stuff with EA Madden this year. Going to be hosting and doing play-by-play for various Madden tournaments this year. Which, if you told me 5 years ago that I would be making a living talking about fantasy football and video games, I wouldn't believe. You know what I mean? It's just unbelievable. I'm very blessed. I'm so happy. I'm expecting my second child in October.
Congrats.
Thank you, man. Yeah. So, I mean, we got a lot of things happening in the Coe household, no doubt about it. And I'm really, really excited about this season, for sure.
Awesome. No, I'm happy to have you come back on. And like I said, I've been doing this it's just kind of a fun thing for me. And I've been able in the last year, me personally, I've been able to have some of your former NFL Network guests on just by me just reaching out. It's awesome how cool Twitter is and just the whole community of people who love sports. How accepting. I mean, I've had Taylor Bisciotti, Cynthia Freeland. I've had some pretty good guests for just, like I said, I do this as a hobby. Of course, if it turned into something later on, but I love doing it. And to have some notable people on has been just really cool for me. So, I think I've, gotten better at this, and it's been just a fun last year for me personally too. So, why don't we get into talking some NFL and some fantasy and all this good stuff? We've had I'll call them some major stories in the last couple of days I wanted to touch on before we get into some kind of fantasy implications. But like the Dak Prescott thing, came out a couple of days ago that he turned down $30 million a year. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, supposedly there's rumors he's asking for $40 million a year and be asked to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. I just don't know. I mean, me personally, just on the outside looking in, he's not worth $40 million. So what are your thoughts on this, and kind of what have you heard lately on this story?
I mean, I'm hearing what you guys are hearing. You know, I mean, I'm on Twitter and reading all about it and everything. And I'm kind of shocked by it all. You know what I mean? I love the confidence of the young man. That being said, his representation probably needs to, probably him some justice. And look, it all comes down to this, right? Like, maybe it's a negotiating chip, right? Maybe he's saying, I want 40, but in reality he's cool with 30, but you've got to give me 30 with basically, $60 million guaranteed, right? Like, you've got to give me 30 with $90 million guaranteed, or whatever it is, right? Like, he wants the guaranteed money to be higher, right? So now so as part of the bargaining chip, maybe this, and again, I'm just, this total hypothesis here, right? He wants 40. Aaron Rodgers not getting 40, right? Like, you can't ask for 40. Like, it just, that doesn't make any sense. So is it a negotiating chip? Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But for him to turn down 30 seems like a lot, certainly, which would have put him in, you know, the top five space, no question about it. But again, how much of it is guaranteed? That's my major thing. Is it a Kaepernick deal where it's pay as you go, which is also the Andy Dalton deal, which is, again, we're going to pay you this money, but we're going to pay you as we go. There's pretty much nothing guaranteed. If you keep playing at a high level, we'll just keep paying you this buku bucks. And it works for some athletes. I think for somebody like Dak, it probably doesn't work because, you know, hasn't had that big paycheck yet, right? As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets paid as much in endorsement money as he does in actual football salary money, right?
Yeah.
So to me, you know, if that's what he wants to secure that future and doesn't want a pay-as-you-go. And to be honest with you, maybe that's the smart decision. As a running quarterback, you're exposing yourself to more injuries, to more hits, but yet you need to have that part of your game to stay a dynamic quarterback. Well, I mean, you want some of that more of that guaranteed money, you know? So I understand if that's the bargaining position for Dak. But look, if it was like we're going to give you 30 mil per year and we're going to guarantee 90, and the guy's like, nah, I'll pass, then his representation probably needs to probably step in and say, well, okay, listen, dude, like,
exactly,
let's not do that. But again, we don't know the contract details, and the devil is in the details. So yep. We don't know what the details are yet, so I don't judge.
Yeah, no, it was just interesting to hear that. I personally kind of thought – I was talking with a couple people. I kind of put him in that Kirk Cousins category as like – and Kirk Cousins is getting like $28 million. And so I'm like,
right,
to get that $30 million, you know, I kind of see them as somewhat comparable quarterbacks. But I think their biggest – and this kind of a segue into my next thing is I think they need to sign Zeke. I mean, Zeke makes that offense go. I don't think Dak is as successful if he doesn't have Zeke. And so – they need to get him paid first, and they're not going to be able to pay, you know, if the $40 million, if he's actually serious about that number, they're not going to be able to pay him $40 million and pay Zeke and pay Amari. I just don't think it works. So, speaking of the Zeke situation, obviously we haven't heard anything out of that in the last couple of days. Do you think he gets signed before the season starts? And if, in each situation, kind of from a fantasy perspective, where do you draft him?
I don't think the issue gets resolved before the start of the season. I don't see why Dallas would be motivated at all to get an extension done. They want to push this off as far as possible. And to be honest with you, the team has all the leverage. Zeke needs to play. He needs to accrue that season to towards free agency. So it's different than the Lev Bell situation last year where it didn't matter, right? Like, they franchise tagged him, so whatever. Regardless of whether he played or not, he was going to be a free agent, right? But it just – I can't see him sitting out and losing that year for what?
Exactly. He has – I mean, he's got 2 years left on his deal.
He's got 2 years left on his deal, and not only that, he's actually getting paid decent money. Like, it'd be another thing if he was an undrafted player making nothing.
Exactly.
I get it,
yeah.
Right? He's, you know, a top five selection. He's getting paid, you know, basically rookie quarterback money, right? So I think he's less motivated to sit out. And the team is honestly not motivated at all because, as you mentioned, 2 years left on that deal. Plus, they could franchise tag him if they wanted to. I don't see that deal getting done. I really don't.
Yeah.
I do think he will miss games. I would be surprised if he played 16 games this year. So you have to ask yourself, what's the level of risk that you're comfortable with if you're going to spend – you know, a top five selection on him in fantasy? I don't know. I think enough people got burned by Lev Bell last year. And again, I know their situations are totally different, that I think his price will drop the closer we get to kickoff.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, if you have a later draft, it's going to be obviously maybe easier to, I mean, if you're gonna draft him now, it's going to be real hard to draft him anywhere
right
in the first couple rounds. But yeah, on the contract thing, I did hear a quick interesting take on the DP show the other day with him and Eric Dickerson. Is they his proposed idea was these rookie running backs that are successful, they're outplaying their contracts real early, and he was thinking of if they restructured made it like a 3-year or 2-year for the running back, since it's such a short term, the average lifespan is like 5 years, right? So if they restructured that contract to where they were able to, if they outplayed that contract, they were able to re-up, a little quicker than that. I think they signed like a 5-year deal now, right? So that was just something I heard the other day, and I thought it was kind of interesting.
I think that's smart. They absolutely should do that, just depending on what position you play. And people could say, oh, that's not fair, whatever it is. But, I mean, you could take the averages. I think the NFLPA could figure out something. Now, let me tell you this. The league would be 1,000% opposed to it. They don't want these kids getting to free agency earlier. That's the last thing they want.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. They want to keep these guys under the rookie contract as long as possible. So I don't think we'd ever see that. I think from a real life standpoint, I think that makes a lot of sense, and that's probably the right thing to do. But as we've seen with a lot of financial matters, the league doesn't care about the right thing to do. They're going to do what's right. They're going to do what's right for the bottom line. And what's right for the bottom line is to hold rookie contracts as long as humanly possible.
Yep. I see how that would they wouldn't like that. So moving on to a couple other big names in the news and fantasy implications. AB, obviously he's had a helmet issue, a foot issue. Where are you seeing? I mean, obviously he's not really practicing yet, and he's not able to build that rapport with Derek Carr right now. So
right.
When's a good time to draft AB? What kind of take me through your thought process on him, and if is he going to get back to practice in time to kind of build a rapport with Derek Carr?
What's kind of nice is that Antonio Brown is falling in drafts, right? So his ADP right now in Fantasy Football Calculator is at the top of the third round. It was, earlier in the summer, it was, late first, early second round, and it's just continually fallen ever since. And now he's in the third round. The longer this goes, the more his ADP will fall. And I think that's good. I mean, to be honest with you, I think in the late part of the second round, he's an absolute no-brainer. Gotta draft him. I know that we're going to see some degradation of explosion, right? Because he's getting a little longer in the tooth. He's playing with a quarterback that can't get it out. He doesn't necessarily have the arm talent to get it out, or he just doesn't trust in the offensive line / the offensive scheme to get it out. But we know that Derek Carr has somehow, I don't know how, but morphing into Alex Smith. I don't know how that's happening, but that's what we're starting to see is Derek Carr getting more and more conservative. So will they open it up? And I hope they do. And I think they will. Look, they revamped their wide receiver core. Right. To me, I think it's a wide receiver core that actually looks pretty good with Tyrell Williams on the outside, testing the edges. Obviously, you've got Antonio Brown that can play outside, that can play inside. He can play everywhere, man. I mean, we're talking about, maybe the best wide receiver of the last 10 years. Right. So and on top of that, I think, too, it's just they added Josh Jacobs. On their offensive line, they got Trent Brown at left tackle. They got Richie Incognito out of retirement. But before that, he was a three-time Pro Bowler, or he played in three consecutive Pro Bowls, right? So their offensive line, Gabe Jackson going down and getting hurt hurts them a lot. But I just think the overall offense, I think, is a lot healthier this year. And I just want pieces – good players in offenses that are at least decent. And I think Oakland's offense is at least decent. That's where I would put them.
Yeah, and I mean, if he's going to fall, like me personally, when my draft comes around, if he's in the third round, even that late second, if I got him, I'm taking him. I mean, he's just
– absolutely.
Like you said, he's quite possibly the best wide receiver that we've seen in the last 10 years. He's a generational talent. It's just like, yeah, he may get a little slower, being that his age and his, you know, obviously his foot problem at the moment, but he's Antonio Brown. I mean, he's just second, third round. Oh, I'm taking him. I don't even care what my roster looks like at that point. He's one of those you can't pass on at that point. So, I'm with you there. I'm fine with his ADP keep dropping, because if everyone wants to avoid him, I'll swoop him up. That's fine.
Exactly.
So moving on to his former team, how do you think Juju's going to run in this, you know, Steelers offense now that AB is gone? I mean, can he be the guy, and can he, you know, take on that double coverage? And also, to piggyback on that, who do you kind of see as Juju's number two there? Is it Washington or is it Moncrief? How do you see that wide receiver core panning out in Pittsburgh?
I think, well, to address the Juju thing first, it's always hard for me to kind of talk about Juju, because I love Juju the player. I love his social media. I love everything about Juju. Seems like a super nice guy. I love everything that he's about, you know? That being said, the guy saw almost 170 targets last year. You have to be out of your GD mind if you think he's going to push 200 targets as a slot flanker. Like, have we ever seen that before? I don't necessarily know if we've ever seen a slot flanker take 200 targets or 190 targets. That just seems bananas to me. I think what we saw last year in terms of volume, I think that's what we're going to see. He doesn't have the speed. He just doesn't have the speed to be an outside wide receiver. He can play flanker. That's fine. And I think he can, you know, take on secondary coverage. That's fine. But if they try to move him over to the X, I don't think that's a good fit for him. The reason he's so successful is because he's so good in the slot and as a flanker running short intermediate routes. If you try to tell him to go double move and go up the side, like, he just doesn't have that. I don't think he's a physical enough player. I don't think he's a fast enough player. I just don't think that's where he would thrive to me. That's just my take on him. I think he's fantastic in the slot when he's seeing, you know, secondary coverage that is not elite. And yeah, as a flanker wide receiver too, yeah, he can attack deep too, but he just can't be the primary guy on the outside. I think that outside guy will be Dante Moncrief. And to be honest with you, everything about Moncrief I like. You know, this is a guy that has proven to be a consistent downfield guy. You look at his air yards, you know, per target over the last 3 years. And, you know, it's over 15 air yards per target, which is just phenomenal. Actually, don't quote me on that, because now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, am I even saying that right? I'm not even sure I am. But bottom line is, he sees a lot of deep targets is the point that I'm making. And I know he's been one of the best in the league in terms of, you know, seeing air yards per target. I think that's the role that he will find yet again in Pittsburgh. And I think he's an underrated player. I really do. This is somebody that was, you know, productive in a Colts uniform, wasn't productive in a Jaguars uniform. That being said, who was? You know?
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at their quarterback situation.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Meanwhile, Pittsburgh's offense, I think, has enough, you know, meat on this bone to sustain, you know, two wide receivers like we saw last year, two top 10 fantasy wide receivers. I'm not saying Moncrief's going to be a top 10 wide receiver. What I'm saying is, at his ADP, which is double-digit rounds, give me Moncrief all day long. This is somebody that you can stick into your flex, your wide receiver three spot, each and every week, and I think he will surprise. So, yeah, I really, really like Dante Moncrief to emerge as the primary outside wide receiver.
And he's probably somebody you can get later in drafts, too. I mean, you know, yeah. mid, you know, what's he going in, like, seventh round, sixth round? I haven't looked, to be honest with you.
Oh, no. He's a double-digit guy. Right now on Fantasy Football Calculator, 12 teamers, he's outside the top 100. He's going late 10th round. He's, like, the 122nd pick on Fantasy Football Calculator.
Yeah, there's some value there, then.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think you can get him. I think his price will stay down there too, because people aren't sure what that split is going to look like. So, yeah, I think Moncrief, you know, in the 9th, 10th round, perfect.
Got it. Moving on to another former Steeler, Le'Veon Bell, obviously after the year off, new home, you know, where are you drafting Le'Veon with this? I mean, yeah, what's the Jets offensive line going to look like, the scheme? I mean, where's he going at right now? Where would you feel comfortable drafting Le'Veon?
He's a first round pick just because of anticipated volume. I think 60 receptions is absolutely doable for him, which is obviously really good. And look, the guy's a phenomenal player. The bottom line is we just don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in. I think the Jets offense will take a step forward. I really like Sam Darnold. Their wide receivers aren't household names by any stretch of the imagination, but I think Robbie Anderson's a good player, and I just think overall it's a team I think that can overachieve. I think they can overachieve. So Lev Bell is somebody that I'm certainly interested in the late part of the first round, early part of the second round, and that's kind of sort of where he's going, and you're drafting him on what you anticipate to be talent. And you're hoping that he's in shape. You're hoping that he still has that, you know, great lateral movement. And that's kind of what you're hoping for. And we'll see. That being said, you do have to recognize that he does come with a certain amount of downside risk, certainly.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, especially because there's going to be a lot of people who are turned off. Obviously, they drafted him last year didn't play at all. So, but yeah, if he's there in the second round, man, I'm swooping him up and I'm happy with it. And to piggyback on the Jets wide receivers, I think that Jamison Crowder I think he's going to play the slot. I think he could be a kind of a sleeper too. I mean, in that offense, if Darnold takes that next step.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think, and the camp reports right now are that Darnold loves Crowder. And that they've built a good rapport. So yeah, you want a late round flyer, a deep sleeper, somebody who's going to go in the double digit rounds. That's your guy, 100%, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean that slot receiver is proven in the Adam Gase offense that he's going to get some volume. So moving on, we have Andrew Luck news that came out last couple days. I mean, what is going on with this news? There's a bone issue, high ankle issue. Does it even make Andrew Luck draftable now? Or, I mean, where do you know, is he way down on the list of quarterbacks now? Because, I mean, he came off a pretty decent year last year. I mean, he helped me win he was my quarterback when I won my league last year, so.
Oh, man, here's another guy, man. I love Andrew Luck. You know, I like him on the field. You know, I love him off the field. Phenomenal talent. I just don't know what to make of this injury. And the fact that, yet again, the Colts are being super sketchy and super shady about his health scares me way off of him. Remember when he was dealing with that shoulder, the Colts were saying the exact same stuff that we're hearing right now. He's going to be ready to go. Don't worry about it. It's a minor injury. He'll be ready to go week one. Week one passes. He'll be ready to go week two. Week mm-hmm. two passes. He'll be ready to go week six. Week six passes. He'll definitely be ready to go after week eight. Week eight passes. Okay, now we're shutting him down for the entire season.
Yep.
They're doing the exact same thing. And I'll tell you what, fool me once, okay, fine. Like, you're not going to fool me again.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's ridiculous. If you're trusting what the Colts are saying, and it's the exact same people, if you're trusting what they're saying, that's on you. It's so clear to me that he's got a legit issue of which we don't know about. They keep saying it's a quote unquote bone issue, whatever the hell that means, right?
Exactly.
Is it a broken bone in his lower leg? If that's the case, you want to draft that? I don't want to touch that.
Oh, it's these reports and the way the Colts are right now, especially what they did like back in, was that 2017? I don't want to touch him.
Right now, he is going on Fantasy Football Calculator in the 6th round. 0% chance to take him in the 6th round.
No.
0% chance. There's too many other quarterbacks. Quarterback's way too deep. There's just no way I'm going to do it. If he falls to me in the 10th round, great. Let's do it. Hopefully, by then, I've already drafted someone else. Or I'm drafting Andrew Luck, and I'm already thinking about drafting another quarterback with my very next pick. Maybe I go 10-11 combo Andrew Luck and somebody else, right?
Cam Newton.
Yeah, well, I probably would try to insulate myself from risk a little bit more than that because Cam's got that shoulder too.
That's true.
So I probably don't want to draft two injured quarterbacks. That probably is not that enticing to me. But let's say Jared Goff is there. He's somebody that could be around. Phillip Rivers, I think, is fantastic. Ben Roethlisberger threw for 5,000 yards last year, right? So, yeah, I mean – I think Phillip Rivers in the 10th round to go with Andrew Luck would be fantastic. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
But will he fall that far? I'm not sure. And certainly drafters, at least early, at least as of yet, are not discounting Andrew Luck too much. Because let's be real, when he's right, him and Frank Reich have some kind of mind meld going. And I love what they got going on. Frank Reich has got that team moving in the right direction. It's a very, very enticing pick to take Andrew Luck, especially with Frank Reich at the helm. But as of right now, I don't trust it.
Yep, I'm with you. One more injured player I want to talk about before we get into some rookies. Todd Gurley. How healthy is Todd Gurley?
I don't know any more or less than anybody else. I'm on Twitter all the time and following up with these things. Google's my best friend, obviously. But Todd Gurley is somebody that is going in the second round, at the very, very early part of the second round. Some people are taking him, late first. It's just that knee issue is so scary, and this is a guy with a very long history of knee problems. I don't know. I probably am the kind of person that's not going to draft him, no matter how far he falls, because I'm really big on zero RB this year. We talked about Lev Bell earlier. He's somebody else that I'm just never going to draft. It's just never going to happen. If he's there in the third round, okay, yeah, great, I'll take him there. But he won't be, right? He'll be long gone.
Oh,
early
yeah.
too.
Yep.
If Gurley fell to the third round, yeah, okay, I'll take him there, right? But he's not going to be there. He'll be long gone. So he'll be somebody that he and Lev Bell are players that I just will have on 0% of my fantasy football teams this year, mostly because give me a wide receiver. All the wide receivers, all the top 10 guys, I love them all. Nuke, Devontae Adams, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Tyreek Hill, Juju Smith-Schuster, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Adam Thielen, Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton. Give me all those guys.
Oh, yeah.
I love all those dudes. You know what I'm saying? So I would much rather have wide receiver than a very shaky running back with knee issues.
I like it. I like it. Zero running back strategy. Let's touch quickly on some rookies and kind of who you might see as just like a couple, maybe a running back and a wide receiver that you like for their fantasy implications this year. Who are you liking in the rookie department?
I'm with everybody else. I really liked what I saw from David Montgomery there in Chicago. I think he's a really good player and somebody that I think fits that system much better than Jordan Howard. I think Jordan Howard's a good player too, but he's somebody that needs power. You know what I'm saying? They need to run a gap scheme with him or just straight up outside zone, but this RPO stuff that they're running in Chicago where the running backs are asked to basically create yards for themselves, which I get that's what the RPOs do, but RPOs are bad for running backs unless you've got somebody like Shady McCoy in his prime where, the guy's just a crazy jump cut guy. RPOs would be great for Lev Bell, but unless you're one of those guys, it's not that great for you because you're basically saying, okay, I want you to run straight into that line. And then basically we're going to run you right up the middle and we're gonna ask that you create yards on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really, really difficult for the vast majority of running backs out there. But that being said, David Montgomery, even going back to his college days, has great lateral movement. He's not going to beat you over the top. He doesn't got that long speed, just doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you need a 4 or 5 yard grinder, this is that dude. He's got great lateral movement. As a matter of fact, when I saw his tape, the one thing I wrote down was, has basketball moves, great head and shoulder fake. He does look like a point guard with the basketball in his hands. Like, he's giving you that shoulder shimmy, and he's moving laterally side to side, and he looks great and natural doing that. And I think that's exactly the kind of skill set you need when you're asking your running back to basically, again, just run right up the middle and create yards.
Yeah, no, he's another name I've been hearing. On the running back position, I mean, obviously this isn't a no-brainer, but this is one that you keep hearing his name of. I like Josh Jacobs, I think, in that Oakland offense. You got the couple wide receivers. I think he's going to do really well, and I think he's going to get a lot of volume.
Yeah, oh yeah, I agree with that. And again, we talked about that O-line being, you know, a little bit better than it was last year, hopefully. Hopefully Trent Brown is – first of all, Trent Brown's a gigantic human. He's like 330
he's
pounds.
He's
gigantic, man. And you know, he'll be manning the left side. You know, Richie Incognito, I think, will be a good guard for them, and I think an upgrade. And hopefully Gabe Jackson comes back and is healthy and can play to start the season. But we'll see. You know, we'll see. So, but yeah, Josh Jacobs, I think, is, you know, the other thing I like about Josh Jacobs, no one's even thinking about Josh Jacobs. You know, you've got Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams, Derek Carr, you know, out there slinging it. You know, you can't stack the box.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be light boxes every single time for Josh Jacobs. That's what I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love that about him. And I think he's a talented player, too. You know, go turn on his Alabama tape. I think the guy's good. So, I would say I agree with that. And where he's going right now, too, right? Like, He can be had in the fourth round.
Yep.
I think that's fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. If you went three wide receivers off the top and Josh Jacobs is your first running back, I'm okay with that.
That's not a bad way to start a draft.
You know?
And then another guy just for me real quick, N'Keal Harry. I'm anxious to see, obviously me being a Pac-12 guy, watching the Ducks and your Cal Bears and all this, just seeing N'Keal Harry – for ASU and watching him for a couple of years, I think this kid could be special. And obviously, he's going to have Tom Brady throwing him the ball. That's not a bad way to start your pro career.
So I love – let me say this. I'm a Pac-12 guy just like you. I watched N'Keal Harry, you know, do damage as a Sun Devil, and I think he's a great player. I think he's a great player. I think from a real-life football perspective, I think he fits what New England wants to do. Look, they need somebody to stretch the field. They absolutely need somebody to stretch the field. And when they get in red zone situations, they need somebody who can fight. And this guy's a fighter. If you're a cornerback playing against N'Keal Harry, I mean, bring your hard hat. This guy's going to make you work, right? And he doesn't take that many plays off, you know, and he will beat you up. He's physical, man. And so I like what they're doing there. That being said, he's not a natural separator. I think he is a really good wide receiver. He's, you know what he is? He's like Alshon Jeffrey light, you know, not a good separator. I don't think when we look at the yards of separation metrics, I don't think they're going to look very good for N'Keal Harry. So I think from a passing stand, from a fantasy standpoint, I don't necessarily know if that's who you want playing with Tom Brady, who, if you're not open within 0.3 seconds, he's not throwing you the ball.
That's true.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, he'll have those vertical routes, but a lot of them are going to be contested. Not saying that he won't come down with them, but will Tom Brady risk it, throwing it down there? I don't think that's really his game, Tom Brady. If he sees a guy covered outside, he's not the kind of player that's trying to force it, you know? Mostly because his mental processing is so fast. It's like, oh, he's covered. I'm just going to throw this guy. He's open. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he probably is going to have to earn the trust of Brady, too. I mean, obviously, being the Brady who he is, he's probably got a, you know, rookie coming in, probably got to earn some trust, too.
Yeah, I think there's some of that. You know, I buy into that a little bit less than most people. I just want to know, like, what are tendencies? And Tom Brady's tendencies are to throw to the open guy. I know that sounds obvious, but he's so good at that. You know, his mental processing of going through reads and just saying, okay, this guy's not open, this guy's open, throw that open guy the ball. He doesn't lock into guys, right?
Yep.
Unless you're Randy Moss.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's not Randy Moss.
Yep. Right?
So So yeah, I think from a real life perspective, N'Keal Harry adds a dimension to that offense that they need. Big physical wide receiver that can get downfield, red zone, good red zone target, you know, can box guys out. Again, plays that Alshon Jeffrey style wide receiver, but especially in PPR, I don't think he's going to see that many targets. I think his overall number of receptions will be low. I think he'll have an inordinate amount of touchdowns, but probably not that many receptions and yards. So in PPR, that's not a good wide receiver.
Yeah, true, yeah.
So yeah, I would probably shy away from N'Keal, especially in PPR formats. In formats that are just, you know, more standard, where touchdowns matter more than anything else, I think he's worth a flyer. And you can get him late, too. So it's not like, you know, it's not like you're investing heavy draft capital in him. Right now he's going in the 10th round. So
yeah,
he's somebody that, yeah, sure, absolutely. He can be somebody that you spend a flyer pick on for sure.
Perfect. Just a couple more things. How about, you know, speaking of late, like kind of late round potential people that you can draft, you know, let's talk between the 8th and 10th round. Who are a couple guys you like that could potentially win you a fantasy championship?
Boy, that's a tough one for me. Yeah. When I start thinking about certain sleepers, you know, like I like John Brown. I think he's going to see a ton of air yards. Again, he's somebody that probably won't see a ton of targets, but I do think 100 targets is absolutely possible. Look, Zay freaking Jones saw 102 targets in that Buffalo offense last year. And picked up 7 touchdowns with 652 yards. So yardage not great. Target share was mediocre. Touchdowns pretty good. John Brown's a significantly better player than Zay Jones.
Yes.
I think he also will see 100-plus targets. I think he will push, you know, 800 to 900 yards. And, yeah, I think 6 to 8 touchdowns is great. Look, the guy's going in the double-digit rounds, right? So we're talking about guys that can help you. And should massively outperform ADP. I think John Brown is certainly in that category. Dante Moncrief, we mentioned, certainly in that category. If there's a running back that you're kind of looking for, you know, later in your draft, there's quite a few that I like. I think Duke Johnson is somebody that I am very, very interested in. I think Lamar Miller has shown to be a very pedestrian running back, somebody that just needs a boatload of weapons around him for him to be effective. And certainly that's what they have. But Duke Johnson fills a need for them. He's, I think, an underrated between the tackles runner. He's just an underrated runner, period. And we already know what he can do in the passing game. So if this is somebody that sees, I don't know, 60 targets, he's going to pull down 50. And certainly I think with the overall fragility of the wide receivers they have there minus Nuke, Kiki QT and Will Fuller cannot stay healthy. They can't do it. They're not healthy now. We're in training camp. Kiki QT is hurt, yep. Right? So I just think the overall fragility of those two wide receivers, I think that Duke Johnson will see anywhere between 60 to 70 targets this year, just because, again, you can actually legit move him out to the slot. Remember, 2 years ago, or was it last year? Might have been last year. They were talking about trying to move Duke into a slot wide receiver role.
Yeah.
So the guy's been in the wide receiver room. He's done those snaps. Like, and the guy's phenomenal with the ball in his hands, and he's really great in terms of having hands and playing that wide receiver role. So it's such a great fit for what the Houston Texans need and what they're doing right now. He's somebody that is going, you know, 11th, 12th, 13th, undrafted right now. And he's somebody that I think, again, is he a league winner? Probably not. Even if Lamar Miller got hurt, I don't think he's going to be the guy that takes, you know, 20 carries, right?
Yeah, no, but yeah.
But he is somebody that I think has a really high floor, and is absolutely worth a selection on, you know, in that price range.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get a guy that late that's going to potentially catch between, you know, 50 to 55 balls, I mean, that's really good value. And, yeah, I like the fit now that he's kind of getting out of Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland just got too much talent at the position. So, you know, for him to move on, and I think it's, yeah, it's a good fit. So a guy I like, obviously this goes back to if Andrew Luck's healthy, is at the wide receiver position. I like Paris Campbell. I think he can be the number two to T.Y. Hilton. And, yeah, if Luck's healthy, if we ever see that, I think that this kid can really make an impact.
My only concern with Paris Campbell, and I first of all, you love the fit, right? Like, the guy's going to be kind of used kind of a little bit all over the field. And with T.Y. Hilton out there, that's just speed for days. What did Paris run? Like, he ran like a 4.3 or whatever it was.
He's fast.
He's ridiculously fast. So you've got two guys. I mean, how many teams can really say we've got two guys on the outside that are that have 4.3 speed? You know what I mean? Like,
not a lot.
Come on. Yeah, not a lot. Now, that being said, I love the fit in real – I say this a lot, but I love the fit in real life. And for fantasy purposes, I just wonder about volume, because you know the two tight ends are going to see work, Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle. Andrew Luck loves both those guys. Naheem Hines is certainly somebody they really liked using out of the passing game as well. T.Y. Hilton obviously is their go-to wide receiver. How much meat is left on that bone for Paris Campbell? It's possible. It absolutely is possible, but they need to restructure their offense to accommodate that. And I don't know if they're there yet to do that with him. So that would be my only concern. But I love him in real life, and I love what he brings to the Colts.
Got it. Just a couple more things. Who? Just some quick ones real quick, no explanation. Who are your top five quarterbacks, even though these may be obvious?
In order. In order. Okay, so and I've had to rejigger this, right, because I had Andrew Luck as my – as a top five quarterback. And as a matter of fact, I thought he was going to be my QB2 just because he was so fantastic with Frank Reich. But you got to move him down. I think Pat Mahomes, I've got no hesitation, no qualms with him as a quarterback one. And, you know, he's going to go somewhere in the third round. And even for people who don't like drafting quarterbacks early, I think it's fine, you know, because the guy can threaten for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns again. Who the hell doesn't want that in the third round? Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? Like, that's
exactly.
It's fantastic. You know? So, I would say Pat Mahomes. I think Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback too, although I could be talked off of that. I think I've got Baker Mayfield as my quarterback three, Deshaun Watson as my quarterback four. But to be honest with you, a lot of these names, I think they can kind of just be interchanged. I love Baker Mayfield, and I do believe he's got an opportunity with Todd Monken as his offensive coordinator, all those weapons, OBJ, Jarvis Landry, Antonio Callaway, David Njoku. I think they have a real chance to be a really special unit, and Baker has a chance to be a really special fantasy asset. It's just – there's a lot of moving pieces there, man. You know, new head coach, new OC, new wide receiver they've got to get incorporated. And we're talking about a second-year player. So there's a lot of moving pieces. And so he does come with some – I don't want to say downside risk, because I think he's about as safe as you can get at quarterback. But will he live up to the quarterback two billing? Oof, I just don't know. I'm just putting him there because I think he's got tremendous upside.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I kind of have them in similar order to that too. Kind of top five running backs. They're kind of all interchangeable, right? Like, who? Give me your top running back. If you're PPR, so, if you're drafting number one, or what well, you're yeah. on a no. If you're no running back, I guess you're not taking a wide receiver number one, are you?
I'm not taking a wide receiver one, but I would take a wide receiver two. That's how bullish I am on zero RB this year.
Are you taking Kamara number one?
I am taking Kamara one. You're right. I just think he is a phenomenal player. Mark Ingram's gone, and everyone keeps talking to me about Latavius Murray. It's like, okay, I get it. Latavius Murray's there, okay? But can we all at least agree that Alvin Kamara is going to see more work, you know?
Oh, yeah. I loved Kamara last year.
I mean, don't make it sound like he's not going to see more work. He's going to see more work, you know? I mean, Latavius Murray is going to be there, and he'll work in too. I'm not saying he won't, but it's silly to me that people think, oh, all of Mark Ingram's snaps are going to go to Latavius Murray. Like, first of all, why would they do that?
Yeah.
You know, like, why? I don't understand. Like, why wouldn't you incorporate this explosive weapon more? Like, that's what they're going to do, because Sean Payton's smart, and smart people would recognize that that's what you got to do, and that's what they're going to do. This is a guy, Alvin Kamara, that saw 81 receptions in back-to-back seasons to start his career. 81 receptions of the running back. I mean, look, before Christian McCaffrey went crazy and got 100, right? Like, 81 is phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? So I think he's literally the safest player that you can take in the first round, because he's shown almost no injury history. I mean, he's many, many years removed now from the knee injury that bothered him at Tennessee. But no injury history in the pros, 80-ish receptions, playing for an offense that is going to be a top 10 offense in the NFL. So lead back in a good offense that catches a ton of balls. What am I missing here?
Oh, you're not missing anything. If I have the number one pick, I'm taking Kamara, and I'm not even spending any more time on it. I'm taking Kamara, no hesitation.
So, you know, I've been going around talking about how Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey come with, you know, more downside risk. And I believe in that. And first of all, everyone's like, oh, well, this is what happened. What drives me crazy, and I never respond to this on Twitter, but like, what drives me crazy is like, oh, well, that's what happened. Look at what happened last year. Brother, we're not playing last year, right? Like, defenses adjust. Also, the part of the equation that everyone conveniently leaves out is price. Saquon Barkley was a late first-round draft pick. Christian McCaffrey was a mid to late second-round draft pick last year, right? So, okay, yeah. If you want to tell me Saquon is a late first-round draft pick, I'm with you. If you want to tell me CMC is a late first-round draft, I'm with you there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy to me to say, well, this is what they did last year, so that's what they're going to do this year. And, oh, by the way, we're not even talking about prices, right? Like, it just seems crazy to me to do that, and it drives me up the wall. But Saquon Barkley and CMC, I think, are fabulous players. I love them both as players. And they absolutely – they have it in them to absolutely do what they did last year again in 2019. They can do it, yes. I'm just saying, let's at least recognize that they come with some downside risk. And that downside risk is why you drop them in fantasy, at least at the very, very top of your draft. That's all I'm saying. And so that's kind of where I'm leaning with Saquon Barkley, who, by the way, I don't know, maybe you heard, Odell Beckham's not there anymore. Safeties don't have to play over the top, right? Safeties can come down and crash the box, which they will do. I would be shocked if Saquon Barkley isn't one of the, you know, top three running backs in terms of loaded boxes this year, right? CMC is playing for a Carolina offense that I thought played better than anticipated last year. I think they could come back to earth a little bit. Plus, Cam's shoulder bothers me significantly. You want that offense to run out there with Taylor Heinicke and or Will Greer? No thanks, right? Everyone's and that's the thing about CMC that I just don't understand is – if Todd Gurley, who is a phenomenal football player, got absolutely housed by an awful offense when he was a Ram, why are we not applying that same concern to a Cam Newton-less or a compromised Cam Carolina offense?
Mm-hmm. No,
that's the downside risk that I think CMC comes with. But again, I will say – I have to keep going back to this. I'm not saying they're busts. I'm not. I think they're all fine as, you know, top 10 selections. I'm just, all I'm saying is I'm actually just more caping up for Alvin Kamara than I am dogging those two guys. I just think that Kamara is way safer. Barkley, McCaffrey, they come with more downside risk, which is why I, in my most recent Yahoo column, I'm advocating people go zero RB at the top of their draft. You got the number two pick, go take Nuke. You got the number three pick, go take Nuke, go take Davante Adams. I'm down with it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I agree on the whole Saquon thing with his wide receiver core just being diminished. It's, yeah, there's going to be more stacked boxes. I'm totally with you there. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. So, last thing has nothing to do with fantasy, but let's, I've been asking everybody for their Super Bowl prediction.
Man, this is tough for me. You know what, man? I'm gonna go Chargers. I'm gonna say Chargers in the AFC. Mostly because I just want Phillip Rivers in there.
Oh, I'd love to see Phillip Rivers. I was talking that with I had Danny Kluppinger on a couple weeks ago, and we were just like, God, how can you not love Phillip Rivers?
I gotta get Phillip Rivers in one Super Bowl. Can we get him in one Super Bowl?
That'd be great.
You know, that'd be great. So yeah, I'm just pulling for it, and quite honestly, I think they have the most balanced team. In the AFC, I really do. Offense, defensively, I think they're going to be nasty. I love the kid they took in the first round, Nasir Adderley. Oh God, you put him with Derwin James and
love those Derwin guys. James.
Oh my goodness, dude, this is that team could do some damage. Please God, let them stay healthy.
Derwin James. That kid is a star. I mean, he's good. So who are the Chargers playing?
In the NFC, God, that's so tough because the NFC is just, I mean, wide open, right?
Yep.
There's no favorite in the NFC, I don't think. It'd be a great story to see Drew Brees back there, too. You know, they got so close, NFC Championship. And quite honestly, they should have been playing Super Bowl.
Exactly. Blown
call. Yeah, blown call, non-PI, whatever it was. So, yeah, you know, let's just say Saints. Why not, you know? They've got some holes on their team, so that will make it hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's a 13-win team last year. I don't think they win 13 games, but even if they win 11, I still think they can make a Super Bowl run just because Sean Payton and Drew Brees.
Yeah, last year I so badly, just as a football fan, wanted a Brady Brees Super Bowl. I mean, how cool would that have been?
That would have been fun. Yeah, that would have been a lot of fun.
I'm a Packer fan, so I mean, I hope that they can. That's a whole other topic for another day. But
You know what? It's not outlandish. It's not outlandish.
No,
you know?
If Rodgers can stay healthy, I mean,
Rodgers has to stay healthy. But you know, my biggest thing with the Packers right now, they completely revamped their defense.
Oh, they actually spent money on their defense. Yeah, I mean,
they spent a ton of money on defense.
If they can play as a unit and you know all come together, then yeah, they got some talent.
And I'll say this about the Packers D too. They let go of Clay Matthews, and honestly, it's addition by subtraction. Clay Matthews was at best a third and long linebacker, and they just kept running him out there every single down because they felt like they owed him.
Yep.
Because they felt like, oh, he's a Packer lifer, and they just got to run him out there. He was so bad defensively, and it was masked a lot by some of the highlight plays he would make. But I just think overall he couldn't cover a soul. And I think he was a net negative on that defense. Replacing him with somebody, you know, like Zadarius Smith, they got Adrian Amos. They got way better coverage-wise, sack-wise, everywhere. I just think they got better everywhere on defense. I love what they did in the draft, too. I just think defensively they're just light years ahead of where they were last year. So hopefully you're putting less pressure on the offense to score points.
Exactly. I'm with you. So I appreciate you making time. I know you're busy. But yeah, once again, appreciate you coming on. Where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all the same. It's all James D. Co. Last name is spelled K-O-H. You know, I try to post a good amount of stuff about next gen stats and matchups and all of those things. So, I'll be heavily involved with that. And you know what, man, I am pretty active and I try to be pretty good about answering people's questions online too. So, you know, not so much on Instagram, but definitely on Twitter and Facebook. I try to take time out of my day literally to answer, any fantasy questions or any questions that you guys might have, you know, regarding football or sports or just sports broadcasting or whatever it is. So, I try to get out there and make myself available. So, that's kind of one of my big things is just, you know, be accessible.
No, I appreciate that on my part as well. And don't forget to, you know, listen to, or watch you on DirecTV. And also you're going to be, a weekly column on Yahoo, or is it going to be a couple a week or?
Nope, weekly column on Yahoo. Awesome. And if you're a fan of Madden, I'll be doing some Madden tournaments this year as well. I've got a big Madden tournament coming up at the end of the month going into the NFL season. So the Madden Classic, you'll be able to catch that on Twitch and YouTube. So it should be a lot of fun, man. I've got another project on the way. I can't officially say anything yet, but I got a project on the way.
Awesome.
That should be really exciting. And I'm really, really excited about this future project, but can't say anything quite as of yet, but just stay tuned. But I'm excited. Yes.
Awesome. Well, once again, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll hopefully talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks, man.